this could be BBC scream and noise kind of thing.
Yeah, just remember that.
I'm just giving everyone the idea of sending that as a voice note, by the way. Please don't do that.
087-9180.
180.
If you were to carve a statue of what you would want an athlete to look like, you would carve her. It was just actually seeing her in person. You're like, holy shit, this girl is going to be phenomenal. You're trying to just help get things out of her way, but she's going to bulldoze them down. There's this cheeky young girl who has no fear. At 21 years of age, she carries huge hopes of a nation on her shoulders, but I don't think she's going to carry it as a threat. I think she sees it as a privilege to go out there and represent and show people what it's like to dream. Being an international athlete, it can be one of the loneliest places in the world. It's a sport where there is no forgiveness. It's such an honest sport and a vulnerable sport. You need to be 100% to compete against your competitors. If you're even having a day where you're 1% off, you end up in last place. It's a game of such small, fine margins. It's finding that one moment on a certain date at a certain time that you have to produce the best performance you ever had in your life. You win or you lose.
Yeah, I feel like when I just go past everywhere that I kind of drove past growing up, like on my way to training or my way to school, like it's so familiar with the area. It's just so interesting to see how much it changed as well. Every time I come back home, there's like a new building or something, and it's like I feel like I'm missing out sometimes, but I was definitely glad I grew up in somewhere like Tala because I kind of had everything. What we used to do, like in my old neighborhood, you just go knock for people. So we'd like go door to door to our friend's house and be like, are you coming out today? That was exactly what we'd say, you coming out today. That's pretty much what it was like. I miss my like family, like my, like just the comfort of home and like the cooking, because my mom used to make like the best meal and the comfort meals. Like even when you're sick, and you know when you're sick and your mom will take care of it or your parents take care of it, just all those things that you'd associate with being at home. And I remember family and just everyone who I kind of grew up with. But I guess in Texas you get used to, or even when you're away from home you get used to making new things that are of comfort for when you're missing home. Yeah, I do feel proud to be Irish and proud to be from Tala because it just sets me aside from everyone else. Like, it's something that's different about me, and it's just a piece of my history and my existence that's different to everyone else's. So I can kind of establish myself as, you know, me. I'm not the same as a lot of the other Americans, and yeah, it's really good. It's definitely amazing to have somewhere that, you know, you grew up and be able to represent them on a national, international stage. Like, everyone who I've met along the way, even just growing up here, from, like, my neighbourhood to the club to schools, everyone has played a part and had their, like, significant impact in my life. So just being able to go out there and represent so much more than myself, it's definitely important because sometimes you might not feel like doing anything in general. You know, you might not feel like getting up in the morning to go to the gym. You might not feel like continuing to the sport. You just want to quit sometimes when things get hard. But then you remember how far you've come, the people who've helped you, the people who believe in you.
Rashida, hello.
Hi.
We are here at Tala Athletics Club. So this is a place you spent a lot of time. Happy place?
Yeah.
you'd come to training and like everyone would be out here like having a laugh. Like you'd still get your training done, of course, but we'd all be like catching up and talking about the latest gossip and stuff. Just like regular teenage stuff. And I feel like the people that I met, like I still talk to a lot of them, and it kind of made me fall in love more with the sport because there's so much more to offer than just success or physical health. Like just that social aspect of meeting people, that's definitely something that I cherish and reminds me every time I come back.
Your family, sporting family, were you like playing all sorts of sports as a kid, or did you stumble into athletics? What's your very early memories of you and sport as a child?
We all grew up in like JA clubs, Camogie, and we joined an athletics club when I was about 12, and we all joined at the same time.
She started athletics since 12 years old. She always won all the races in our school, 10 marks. And a teacher called me like, "Adi, please, you just have to go and register this girl in Tala Athletics Club." And she gave me the number that you have to be calling them. If you don't get in touch with them, call them again. If you don't get in touch with them, give me a shout.
Tala Athletics Club has been around probably for the last, well, in one form or another, for the last 30 or 40 years, you know. And Rashida first joined the club, I think it was probably in around 2013 or thereabouts. And I suppose during that period, she would have been under the guidance of, and for a few years after that, the late Johnny Fox. She competed in almost everything. She did high jumps, she did long jumps, she did track, she actually did cross country.
You must have been aware, even in school, I'm faster than pretty much everyone around me here.
Yeah, because when we'd be like, it'd be like a yard time when we'd always be racing the guys on the field and trying to like earn the fastest person in sixth class or the fastest person in fifth class title. And I'd always beat the girls, and then I'd race the boys, and then I'd beat most of the boys as well. And like they played like football and stuff, like they were real athletes and I was beating them. So I was like, oh my God, I'm actually kind of fast.
Was your mum one of those mums that was encouraging borderline, come on, come on, come on, you have to really push yourself? Or was she more hands off, just do whatever you do, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it, there's no pressure? What was her attitude to your early talent?
My mom was very supportive. Like if I wanted to do it, she wanted me to do it times 10. Do you know what I mean? So if I wanted to go train, like she would change her shifts at work to make sure she could take me.
Anything I can sacrifice, I'm going to do it. You just focus and determine and get whatever you want to get at the right time. That's all I want. It's a pleasure for me to do it. And I'm still continuing to do it. Anytime she come back home, it's still my job all over the place.
She wasn't like very forceful. Like I know a lot of parents sometimes when their children are athletes and they want them to be like these star athletes, they put a lot of pressure on them. They make sure they have a strict routine. My mom wasn't really like that. She was just more supportive. So that definitely allowed me to have more love for the sport since it wasn't kind of forced onto me. So I was able to grow into it more naturally.
She's not one of those parents in the car afterwards saying, you should have done this, you should have done that.
No, but you know what my mom used to say that used to make me laugh? She was like, oh, I should have just pushed further. And I was just like, I don't think you know how it works. I'd be at the All-Ireland indoors or outdoors and like I get beat by like 100 of a second. And she was like, you should have just threw yourself, or do you know what I mean? Yeah. But she's saying it like in good faith. She just doesn't get that I tried. That's the fastest I could go at that time.
Yes. By the time you're 14, even I knew your name. People were talking about you. You won a medal at the European Youths in 2017, you're 14. And then in 2018, you're 15 years of age and you win gold in the under-18s at European level. So that is a really extraordinary period where you turn up here and within 2, 3, 4 years, you're doing something very special on the global stage.
Like 3 years is a long time when you're a kid. And I was very competitive. So like the first 2 years, I wasn't like winning. So I expected to come to Tala Athletics Club and my first All-Irelands win and keep winning, keep winning. And I wasn't really like that. I wasn't the trajectory it was going. But when it did happen in 2017, I was 14 and I'd run indoors. It was my first time winning indoor nationals in the age groups. And everything just kind of took up from there. I don't know if I had like a crazy growth spurt or something, but everything just changed from that moment. And in that same race, I qualified for Youth Olympics. I qualified for European Under 23s and I was 14. It was just a crazy outcome from, you know, 2 years of work. I was just always very competitive. So it doesn't matter if I'm at All-Irelands or if I'm at Europeans, I want to win regardless. It kind of geared me on to create that mentality that, you know, second place or third place wasn't enough for me. I always wanted to win. I wanted to break the record. I wanted to break the European record. I just always wanted to see what was next.
She was being recognised, you know, as she was going to the European Youth Olympics, and the high performance supports within Athletics Ireland, you know, were there to help, and the Institute of Sports Science.
Rashida first arrived out to the Institute when she was 15 years of age. She'd have been identified early within Athletics Ireland as to what a talent she was, so it would be very unusual for such a young athlete. And I still remember the day because I walked into one of the director's offices, Phil Moore, and I just turned to him and I said, the future Usain Bolt of athletics has just arrived in our building. Just watching her grow, develop in those 4 years before she went to America was, to be honest, it was a privilege to kind of see her development, both physically, but more importantly, that kind of mental toughness and resilience that she shows. She showed up here twice a week. Her mom would bring her over, or Johnny Fox used to bring her over when he was still coaching her.
From the first day I met Johnny, Johnny is just a great man with a good character. And he always be there for Rashida all the time. He would say, oh, you make sure you don't miss any races, Rashida, please.
I was happy that I got to see Johnny along with the chairman here on the Saturday, the day before Johnny passed away. He hadn't been too well in recent months, you know, but yeah, I was still there and still onto people and still onto some of the athletes that he was coaching and, you know, giving them his advice from the hospital bed. And
he was such a presence by her side. He was a guy that you could just see just loved athletics, loved helping young athletes. Just the excitement for him of helping Rashida on her journey. And I know he was a huge influence on her and her family in the guidance he gave her, in the belief he instilled in her. Like, he spotted very early on, he said it to me, he was like, this is an Olympic champion.
We miss him so much. And it's really emotional because, I don't know, he's gentle, so rest in peace. And Johnny shall never be forgotten because it's just a man that I can never be forgotten.
And Johnny was so proud then, you know, to see Rashida achieve so much. And I think it was Johnny who probably in one interview said, you know, I'm only 5'4" or 5'5", but I'm 7 foot tall. You know, I'm so proud of her achievements. And he really was. He was a great man. A legend, and I will say that.
She was winning races so easily at a junior level, she didn't have to genuinely work that hard, but I think she knew as she was coming to the senior ranks that talent alone wasn't going to do it, but you could see her respond and just work a little bit harder.
I definitely realised that I was relying a lot on my talent. And I feel like that's probably something I did in Ireland a lot. So I would go to training and then I'd give it my all at training. But outside of training, I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't like the weight room because it was hard and it wasn't something that I was good at. And because I wasn't good at it, I didn't like it. When I realized that that was what I was going to need to do to be really competitive in the US, I just started, you know, turning it up and just taking it more seriously in general. And like, even now, even though it might not be my favorite, I still take it very seriously and I really try to hit those goals. I don't love it. I maybe like it now, but I don't love it.
Your current coach, Coach Edric Floreal?
Yeah.
Coach Flo. He was watching you as a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And he talks about saying to his wife, what the hell is this? Who is she? And so he reached out to you. Were you looking at that stage in your teenage years for a scholarship? Did you want to go to the US? Were you thinking along those lines, or was this a bit out of the blue?
I didn't want to go to the US while I was still kind of growing up here. I was still with my family and stuff. And I was going to go to UCD. But then I got contacted by Flo and a bunch of other coaches in the US. And I didn't really want to consider it because, you know, the US seemed like a big, bad, scary place. And I guess it seemed like a bit of a risk. I've heard so many horror stories of people going to the US and they hated it or they got injured. So I kind of put it aside. But, you know, getting contacted by like really, really big schools like LSU, Florida, Texas, it kind of opens your perspective to think, there's a reason why these schools want me. There's probably something that they see.
I don't think you'll meet a more mentally resilient person. I don't think you'll meet a person that wants to rise to challenges. I don't think you'll meet a person that wants to win as much as she does. And then she's blessed with enormous physical talent. Like if you look at her limb length, her lever lengths, what she actually just possesses as a human being, it's in the top 0.0001% in the world. I don't think we see it that often across any sport, across any athlete. I think she's a generational talent, but I think she has all the other skills required behind it to really, really be world class and leave her mark on world sport.
I talked to Flo. He told me his plan. I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll go on a visit. And I visited the school. I met all the team members. And I was like, I could see myself here. Like, they had great facilities. Academically, Texas is really prestigious. So it felt like a pretty good fit. But I still had those concerns in my head about maybe, you know, overrunning, getting injured, and just being away from home and kind of being a small fish in a big pond. I was kind of used to being in Ireland and, you know, being able to have maybe like lighter competition and have more recognition and stuff. But if I go to the US, I'm kind of against people who are better than me. Everyone was kind of better than me, even on my own team. I eventually made a decision that if I want to get to the level that I want to be at, that will probably be the best decision to make.
What did your mum think?
She didn't really want me to go. Of course, like as a parent, she was going to miss me. And I essentially made the decision and she just kind of had to go with it.
As a parent, you know how it's supposed to be. For the first day, I was like, it's just a nightmare.
And now she always brings it up and she's like, oh, I'm so glad I let you make your own decision. Like, I didn't push you or anything because who knows where you'd be.
Texas is very okay. The weather is good. And she's on the right path and she's on right hand with the coach. He's been there for Rashida as well. Likewise, like Johnny.
I essentially thought, what's the worst that could happen? If I don't like it, if I get injured, I can just come back home. Like, that's how easy it is. So if I didn't take that opportunity, I would have been kicking myself. Mm. So I just saw that it was a great opportunity and just see where it takes you. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
I think she needed to be in an environment where she was challenged. I think already within Ireland, she was the top one, two. And she hadn't run fours yet, and I don't think it was quite on her radar. But I think moving to Texas under Coach Flo with the group she had, it put her in an environment where she wasn't the best.
You know, where she would get a higher level of competition, you know, and people at her own level that she can perform against. And I think that's been of great benefit to her, you know.
What were the initial months like there?
So I got there mid-year. The semester starts in fall. No, not fall. Autumn.
Oh my God, you're saying
I'm
fall.
I'm American. But the leaving results for us didn't get out until I think the end of September due to COVID. So I would have already missed about like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So I just decided to go in January. And that was a little bit harder simply because that's when the competitions start. So everyone got that base training from August until December, but I didn't have that. And my first race was terrible. It was really embarrassing because I think everyone thought I came in. They saw I was tall, I was doing good at training. Oh, she's going to be so good. And like,
wait until they see me.
Like, they won't know what's coming for them. And then I came like dead last in the first race. And it was just really embarrassing. Like, I just cried so much because, one, I was embarrassed. Two, I just thought it was better than that. Like, I ran the same time I did when I was 14. And I was like, maybe this is what they were talking about. Like, maybe I should go home. And my coach reassured me. Like, we used to have so many, like, hour-long, two-hour-long conversations. And he just helped me get through, like, what was a kind of a rough period. But other than that, it was still really good. School was good. I had a lot of friends.
It's not very often she would have been beaten in Europe. So it was a huge learning curve to go, okay, what do I need to do now to actually just even, first of all, beat my college mates and then transfer that into the NCAA collegiate system, which is one of the strongest competitive systems in the world, and then bring that into senior international athletics.
Throughout the rest of the season, I made progress, and it just essentially told me that to be patient, because I'm not very patient, especially when it comes to athletics. I want everything now. I want to be good now and stay good. I don't want to have to go through rough periods or, oh, trust the process. I don't want to trust the process. I want to be good now.
And how quickly did you go from embarrassed and crying to showing everybody what you could do and maybe starting to win a few races?
So it definitely wasn't until about the outdoor season. So I got maybe about 2 months of training in, and we went to like Big 12 championships, and I broke the Irish record in the 200 metres, and I ran a huge PR in the 100 metres. So that was kind of like my breakthrough meet. And it was really a good confidence booster because I could realise that now, okay, I'm able to compete with these girls.
Our perception of American universities is, well, show up, do your schoolwork, maybe don't show up. There's no problem because you're the superstar athlete. What's the reality?
You definitely still have to get good grades simply because if your grades aren't up to par, you can't compete.
Okay.
So.
And there's no wink, wink.
No. There's no wink, wink. honestly, academics is really important to me.
Right.
So I always made it a priority to get my work done, regardless if I have like a race the next day or the day of. I'd always want to get good grades. I was competitive in the classroom, just as competitive as I was on the track.
She's managed that dual side of training as a almost a full-time professional, but maintaining her college career and finishing that out as well. But I think that's partly her mom, like Ade, is so adamant that she gets her college degrees, and she will most likely go on and do a master's because education is hugely important to her and to her family, and she will have a massive career in something else post athletics.
I told her, I thought you just have to get something doing because sport is not forever. So I want you to finish your degree and do so well. And she has ambition to do it.
You got by on your talent, but it seems like your technique wasn't perfect either. And Michael Johnson tweeted, God, when Rashida learns how to move her arms perfectly, she's going to be force nature. And Coach Flo had a line. He said, she's got her arms going like she's washing dishes. Tell us about your technique and maybe a realization it wasn't nearly as good as it could have been.
When you're trying to develop something that you've never done and change the way you've been running for years, it can be very hard because every single stride, you're trying to go back to your old form. But it's definitely something that I just have to be really, really intentional with. And each training session, I'm getting better.
So you can show us, what were you doing with your arm and what are you now doing with your arm?
So I used to like put my arms out like that while I'd run, but you're supposed to pump because it's supposed to be, it connects with your hips and then allows you to really extend your stride and keep your stride up. But I'd kind of put my arms wherever. And that was also to do with my strength in the weight room because I couldn't really pump my arms for that long because my arms would get tired. So I just let them kind of do whatever they wanted to.
And is that going to make a big difference?
Like Michael Johnson said, when your arms are kind of all over the place, your body starts moving. So when you're like, when you're pumping, your body stays straight. But when your arms are kind of all over the place and you're putting your arms in random directions, your body moves with that, and then your legs can't go in a diagonal direction. So
the move to 400 meters, was this something you knew was going to happen?
I didn't really want to run the 400 because I seen how the 400 meter runners train. I didn't ever want any part of that. But I then ran a couple of 4x4s and I was running really fast splits, like faster than the 400 girls. And then I was like, do you know what? I actually might not be too bad at this. And then Flo eventually convinced me to run like an open 400 meters at the Big 12 championships. And then I ran 50.7, which was an Irish record.
When she came in here first, one of the first things I said to her is, you're going to be the best 400 meter runner in the world. And it's, she was looking at me going, I'm a 100 and 200 meter runner and I barely like training for those events alone. So stop talking about 400s. I think he saw the same thing when she arrived over there. He was like, yes, you're going to be very quick over one and two and world class, but you have a chance to be something spectacular over 400. So I think it took a lot of convincing because the training for 400 is not fun. It is probably the hardest training that there is. And Rashida doesn't, it's not that she doesn't train hard. It's just nobody would choose the 400 if they had other options. I still think she can be world class over one and two, but 400, I think she could leave her name on record books.
Oh my God. That's just a hard question because she doesn't like to do it. But Johnny said it before she left to America, like, when you get there, Rashida, you're going to go for 400. And when Flo told her that, like, Rashida, you just have to try 400, she said, no, I will never, never. That's the only thing I will never, never do.
400 meters is a miserable event to run.
Yeah.
A lot of pain, a lot of lactic acid, a lot of lying there dead, I would think, in training.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to run it. I was like, Flo, let's make a deal. I'll run the 400 meters if you let me keep doing the short sprints training.
Okay, don't think he's up for that.
Nah, he wasn't. But if I really wanted to get to the level I wanted to be, and he knew that I could get to it, it was just going to take a little bit more. Mm. And I just had to get used to it.
In terms of preparation, a lot of people think it's like this phenomenal, glamorous life, but a lot of it is just the monotony of 5 to 6 days a week of running, 2 to 3 days a week of weights, rehab, physio, trying to get nap time in. While she was in college as well, there would have been 4 or 5 hours of college a day. So your day is particularly full, but there are certain things, if you want to compete at a world level, you just need to get done every week. Despite being tired, despite maybe not having the motivation, it's the discipline around that preparation piece that she has really developed over the last couple of years, that no matter how you feel, things just need to get done, and they also need to get done at a very high level.
The decision to turn professional, easy, difficult, one that you oscillated back and forth on?
The decision to go to professional was kind of hard because with the new realm of NIL in America, you can sign to a company as, you're not really necessarily a professional, but you're still running for your school, but they still pay you to run. And when the season is over, you then run for that brand or company that you signed with. And I was just kind of thinking about Paris. I was like, do I want to, when it came to Worlds in Hungary, I was kind of tired mentally and physically. And I was thinking that's kind of what the collegiate season does to you because you race so much and it's always at a high level. And I was just kind of thinking, do I really want to be in this same predicament this time next year? And I just said, no, not really. So I just decided to make that change.
Mm, that makes sense. Because people could assume, oh, professional would be tougher, but actually it's the opposite. It's a less grueling.
Yeah, maybe competition-wise, it's a little bit harder because everyone is good, everyone's professional, everyone's talented.
People might have assumed that you turning professional meant that you had to wave goodbye to Coach Flo and wave goodbye to Texas, but so much of your life hasn't changed in that sense.
Yeah, I'm still training at Texas. I'm still with all my training partners and I still go to school like normal. So not really much has changed.
Yeah, I think even since then, obviously, she's broken the 60-meter indoor record, the 200-meter indoor record, and then she made the 300-meter indoor record her own as well in New York. Again, I don't think she was best pleased with that race. It was still a really phenomenal time, but it didn't give her the placing that she would have liked with it. And then, obviously, she had her 10.84 windy 100. I think that's when the world kind of looked up and said, whoa, who is this athlete? Like, she's known as a 400-meter runner, but 10.84, even with the wind, but it was more... She beat Julian Alford, Dina Asher-Smith, who have both got world medals, world gold medals over sprints. And then obviously she followed that up with the phenomenal performances that happened at World Relays with the mixed relay and the women's 4x4, qualifying, helping qualify both teams for the Olympic Games, and then culminating that with the bronze medal for the mixed relay.
It's been a fantastic achievement. Her role in helping that Irish squad get an Olympic qualification. I don't know how she's feeling, but I'm sure she's standing really tall, taller than her 6 foot, you know.
How do you feel about the Olympics?
it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. But at the end of the day, it's just another race. It's a big race, for sure. But I don't try to constantly think about it because I feel like that might stress me out a little bit. And I don't really want to put all that pressure on myself. From now and right up until the games, I'm doing everything I can to prepare myself best for it. That's pretty much it.
See, it's interesting because sometimes Irish athletes go to the games and we have unrealistic expectations of them. They might have run a personal best and we don't recognize just how brilliant it is to do that at the games. You seem to be in a slightly different category in that already people are saying, well, Rashida should definitely make a final and she's got a great chance of a medal. Are they realistic expectations? Or is it fair that people say that about you, or is that going a bit too far?
They are realistic expectations. And essentially, people are always going to have their idea of what they think you can do and what they think you can achieve. And a lot of the time, like, that's sometimes a privilege because that just shows people believe in you and they believe in your talents and they expect great things from you. So I just try to see it as something positive and not something pressurizing.
Look, Olympic Games is nothing will be given easily to her. It will be a fight to be in that final and to compete for medals. And there will be nothing easy afforded to her. But I think she will go there confident that she will be among the world's best. And whatever happens over there, she will be giving every effort to achieve her dreams. But I think at 21, it's the start. It's not by any means the middle or end of it. It's the start of hopefully 10 years of someone dominating on the world scene.
Something else I'd be very curious to get your thoughts on. Participation is obviously so vital and so talked about, I think, increasingly. And we've seen things like Allianz's Stop the Drop campaign, which you're fully behind, very supportive of. And it's just about trying to keep children, teenagers involved in sport for longer.
Sometimes I feel like a lot of people don't see themselves being successful in it or going to the next stage. So they're like, what's the point in me doing this anyways? Like, I'm not going to go pro or... And I just feel like there's just, that's where you kind of tap into the fact that there's just more to offer than just we want to be successful. I feel like even if I didn't go professional, I would still be in some type of club sports just because it just offers you so much more than success. And even like the social aspect of the physical health, like physical health can really affect the way you feel and the way you are mentally. Just being able to get out there, go for a run or play a sport with your friends. It just gives so much more than just winning.
Delighted. We're all very proud of her, you know, and her achievements. And it's fantastic to have somebody, you know, of her calibre.
She's one of those people that there's that X factor that even, okay, physically she is different and she walks into a room and owns a room physically, but there's that charisma piece that you can really see develop over the last while. She's now prepared to show.
Oh, Rashida is just my fellow and talented girl. And I'm really delighted for her and proud of her.
When the whole country, no pressure, sorry, I shouldn't say it that way, when everybody sits down to support you and watch you at the Olympic Games and there's that moment of tension as you're in position ready to go, I'm very curious, I'll be watching, what's going through your head in those 10 seconds before the gun goes?
I just try to clear my head and I don't think about anything now. Just waiting for the gun to go off.
Interesting. Is that that must be a fun space to be in a way? Or?
It's pretty neutral. Like, it's not fun, it's not bad, it's not. It doesn't give me anxiety. It's just kind of peaceful, if anything. Just waiting for the gun.
Set.